This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Biba Adams has been writing for many years, in Detroit and out of it. She comes from a generation of talented and tenacious female journalists in the city. Like some, she began her career writing about the arts community, but has broadened to cultural and social issues impacting Detroit. She just recently left her role at the Detroit Metro Times to become editor-at-large at Model D Media. And she joins us now. Biba Adams, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
I have lost count of how many evolutions of post-Facebook, post-social media news organizations we have gone through. I don't know if we're like in 5.0 or 6.0 or what exactly, but it does feel like we're in the midst of yet another post-tech evolution in how we understand our communities through story. You've worked in different mediums and for different publications. Tell us a little bit about your new position. What can Model D do that other news sources don't?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we're very Detroit-focused. I mean, obviously, you know, just from our name, and we're solutions-oriented journalism. So we're focused on understanding what's going on in communities, what the challenges are, what people are doing to fix them, and, you know, just really exploring Detroit, I guess, through a different lens. In my role, I'll be kind of tackling more of arts and culture type pieces, and help to really tell some stories that haven't been told before or telling them in a new way.
We now have Model D alongside Outlier and Bridge Detroit, you know, within the larger community of Bridge, Michigan, and many other outlets, you know, just doing approaching story and coverage in a little different kind of way. Are there things that you've learned from watching nonprofit media and hybrid media take on a specific beat or a specific goal instead of the kind of broad citywide coverage that we used to think about in, say, newspapers?
Yeah, I think neighborhood focus is really strong, and it does really well for us at Model D. Our series On the Ground, which explores like one particular neighborhood and community and really embeds there, has been really successful, and not just successful for us in a readership way, but successful in that, you know, when we write about a restaurant or when we write about a business, you know, we hear back from those entities saying that, you know, we've helped them drive customers into their businesses. I think that that's one of the things that I really enjoyed doing when I was at Model D, just as a correspondent, being able to be that person that kind of fuels the good news. And that's, you know, that's a personal gratification for me, telling good news stories. I think there's not enough of that. And I think that that's what all three entities are doing really well.
Traditional media has had such a complicated relationship with the idea of like who your audience is. I mean, you're writing the stories so that people can know what's going on, of course. But in, say, for example, newspapers, and I think this was true in weekly media too, weekly papers, maybe still is, that, you know, that relationship with advertisers is not nothing. Do you feel like you have a different handle on that at this stage in your writing career?
I think it's always a challenge to navigate, you know, in the nonprofit and hybrid media space, to navigate kind of what the funders are looking for, which would be similar to that same kind of satisfying the advertiser type of responsibility. But I think that our commitment to enlightening, innovative, interesting news stories has really paid off for us and is bringing new readership into Model D, you know, locally. And we get a lot of people that reach out to us nationally as well.
What was your experience of the big transition years for media when newspapers were going into free fall and TV was going through these strange things too? And the magazine business was also experiencing some collapse and renewal.
Yeah, I have been a freelancer most of my career. I think this position at Model D is probably, as well as I also hold a position with a national website, and I don't know how I'm doing both at once, but I'm getting it done for now. But I've been freelance, you know, most of my career. And so I definitely encountered, you know, some lower rates I was part of the lawsuit that sued Ebony Magazine to get us paid after a year. So I think that, you know, the financial challenge and what that presented to journalists was the big thing, you know, in that transition time. And I think that now that as we're seeing different hybrid models, a lot more of web media, social media content, video content, you know, there's so many different ways to get information out and how it's being disseminated. It does seem like maybe we're entering, you know, a better day.
A lot of local journalists have a really difficult relationship with the stories editors wish for. The stories that, shall we say, are, I'm using a real polite term, clicky stories, sticky stories that people will want to click on that, you know, maybe don't take as long to write, but, you know, may get a lot of circulation. Do you feel like you're in a place where you feel, is there a way for clicky stories to truly build community? What has to happen for that magic to occur?
I think with Model D in this position, you know, they created this job for me. It didn't exist prior to me. And I'm really fortunate in that, you know, they thought so highly of me and my work and my voice to say, you know, we want you to come on board. We want you to tell the stories that you want to tell the way that you want to tell them. And so I haven't had a lot of those challenges. Like, you know, when I put something forward, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, I have editors and I have our publisher who's like, yeah, let's go for it. So I haven't had that issue locally. I see that a lot nationally. You know, I work for a national website as well, The Griot, which is African-American centered news. And, you know, that's more of an issue there where we want to get those clicks in. You know, we might talk about who Michael B. Jordan is dating or, you know, just the kind of things that personally might not be super exciting to me, but there's a market, I think, for all of it. I mean, I even think there's a time of day that sometimes people just want to read something light and fluffy, you know, and then other times, you know, you might be settling in and you're like, wow, I want to read something with a little bit more depth and heft. And particularly in Detroit, as Detroit consumers, we want to hear the good things about our city because we've spent decades, you know, only hearing the bad.
To say nothing of the past 12 months. By the way, who is Michael B. Jordan dating at the moment?
He's dating Lori Harvey, who is Steve Harvey's daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
They make a cute couple.
Thank you. Thank you. Inquiring minds. I appreciate that. Biba, you have defined yourself as a storyteller, culture curator, and quoting here, recovering hip-hop head.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about those concentric circles and how they frame you as a writer?
I started my career as a hip-hop writer because I was a hip-hop fan, and I love to tell the story about how I got my first job. I actually used to work for a major record company, and I was laid off after 9/11, and I, you know, kind of just answering any ad to find a job, and I answered an ad for Real Detroit Weekly as an ad sales rep. And I went in there and I was, you know, telling John Badanchek, you know, I know all these Detroit rappers and like, this is how I'm going to sell ads to rappers, which I don't think was probably going to ever happen successfully. But he's like, you know, I don't think that you're a good ad sales rep, but you probably would be a great hip hop columnist. And that's really how it started. And I've always had a skill for writing. But once I got into it and was doing it professionally, it really took off. I never went to journalism school. My degree is in history and philosophy. So I had a lot of reading and writing and research skills. And so, you know, I guess kind of just who I am innately as a storyteller and a curious person, those things kind of make me the writer that I am. And also, I've had some really great editors who have helped shape me, helped, you know, show me things that I, you know, might have learned in J school and, you know, who helped me become a better writer and storyteller over the years. So, yeah, all of those things are really define kind of who I am.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Detroit writer Biba Adams. She's written for Ebony, All Hip Hop, and The Griot, and is the new editor-at-large at Model D Media. This was such a cool and interesting time to be getting into the scene. Could you talk a little bit about how you saw the hip hop scenes and the music scenes evolving over the time you were writing about them and what it was like to be reporting on that?
Gosh, I mean, I definitely am the first one to say that I was there around pretty early in Eminem's evolution and, you know, the D12 era. I was really close to those guys. And so seeing friends, seeing people who were your friends on the Grammys or, you know, doing big stadium shows, it lit a fire in me that has never been extinguished. When you see your friends be that successful, it makes you think that anything is possible. That's really what I took away from that experience. And, you know, Detroit hip hop has evolved so much just as the music industry has evolved. You know, things have gone to streaming. People are, I mean, even just in this past year, you know, people are doing virtual shows. And, you know, I think that that's going to actually stay with us a lot longer than we think. So, yeah, Detroit, I think we have a legacy of being, you know, outstanding musicians from, you know, Motown to I still think present day.
Not to harp on the digital evolution so much, but having been there at the creation, but also having been there at the evolution, as all these artists were figuring out how they were going to keep their living, that must have been pretty sobering at some points.
Yeah. You know, like I said, when I worked for a major record company and I was let go after 9/11, and it wasn't so much just the terror attacks, but it was happening at the same time as, you know, LimeWire, and people were learning how to, you know, rip music from the internet. So the music industry has evolved several times, but, you know, it's a lot like the journalism industry. You know, when there's an evolution, there's a bit of a downside, then, you know, we begin to adapt to the consumer needs and to the way that they're consuming content. And then kind of things move back into a different kind of rhythm. And so I think that people still value the creative arts, you know, whether it's words or music or pictures and food. I mean, people still value those things and they'll spend their time learning more about it and pursuing it and understanding it and enjoying it. And so I definitely think I've seen some ups and downs, but I kind of like where we are now in both the journalism space and the music industry.
Seeing Detroit's hip hop brand rise and seeing the city's brand, you know, gain so much buzz and so much cachet, and living here the past couple of years, seeing people who are not from Detroit and maybe specifically brands and musicians and labels who have not had a stake in Detroit come for a share of that and come to partake in it. We could talk a long time about the influx of white people who've come and moved into Detroit who may not be aware of many aspects of the city's history. Does that shape your approach to the stories that you do today?
You know, I have to be careful there because I left Detroit for 10 years, you know, and I lived in Atlanta, I lived in New York City, you know, and Detroit can be, you know, a really territorial place. And, you know, I remember people being like, you know, when we bounce back, don't try to come back, that kind of thing. And it's like, well, who's going to stop me, you know? Like, are we going to lock, you know, you're going to lock the gates or what, you know? So I think that, honestly, I think that kind of shapes my perspective as well, because I've been back here 4 years now, but I see a lot still with fresh eyes. Yeah, so I don't, you know, I think that that still kind of excitement and energy and it's, you know, the evolution and the changes still have a newness to me. So I think if anything, that sort of shapes the way I write. But I also do recognize that, you know, for me being an African-American person, I want to recognize and pay homage to the fact that this is still a majority Black city. And that, you know, a lot of those stories go untold. One of the first stories I did for Model D was about small scale development in Detroit, because we do hear a lot about downtown and a lot about how things are, you know, changing for the better. But we don't hear about, you know, Black Detroiters that are making moves, that are, you know, growing businesses, that are helping build homes. That's important to me because it's important for everyone that we don't put a quote unquote like white savior face on Detroit's resurgence. Like, that is just, that's not a good look.
You came up in a generation of really powerful female writers in Detroit and from Detroit. I think of Dream Hampton, Oneida Jackson, Chastity Pratt, Kim Trent. When you think of your cohort, if you do think about your cohort, what might it mean to younger women who you'd like to see get involved in journalism or just think about telling stories about the city today?
Yeah. Alex Washington made a shirt that it was like my name, Dream, Jamel, Kelly. And I mean, to be mentioned in that group still blows my mind. Like, I still have a little imposter syndrome. Like, I'm like, someday somebody's going to catch on and, you know, be like, what are you doing playing journalist?
I saw her tweet about that. Did she actually get the shirt made?
She did get that shirt made.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Kelly and I were like crying our eyes out. So it was just, it's an honor to be, you know, respected by a younger generation of journalists. And, you know, I hope I inspire just by, I'm very authentic. You know, I remember I had a job and my supervisor used to say, you're so real. You're so real. She said it so much that I was kind of like, is this a compliment or not? You know, but I think that, you know, I'm very authentic to myself and true to myself. And so I hope that if anything, that that's one thing that the younger journalists who might look up to me kind of take away, that you can be successful and you can be you.
Are there any stories that you want to tell us about that you've got in the pipeline right now?
I don't know. March was really big. Like, it was me ramping up. I just came back from vacation. I took a chance and went to St. Thomas in February. So coming back and hitting the ground running was pretty exciting. I'm hoping to profile some more really cool, interesting Detroiters. I'm planning to talk to Spice Adams, who is from Detroit. He currently lives in Chicago, but he's a viral comedic sensation, and everything that he does, you know, does well. And so I really want to talk to him just because I think that's going to be like the funniest conversation ever. I'm looking forward to doing more food writing. So I'm looking to talk to Max Hardy and some other Detroit chefs. It's really important to me to support Detroit's restaurant scene as we start to open back up after, you know, I can't even say after the pandemic, but as we start to, you know, move toward economic recovery, to talk about the restaurants that remain, the ones that didn't make it, you know. So restaurants have a really special place in my heart. So I would definitely expect to see me doing a lot more in the food space as well. Plus, it means free food.
I was going to say, who doesn't want to do more food writing? That is a life goal I share.
It's great.
Biba Adams, editor-at-large at Model D. Biba, thank you so much. And it's great to see you in this position.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Thanks, everybody.